So you mentioned point number 15. All children and especially those who are studying should be given such nutrition which is good for the brain. Junk food is spiritually and physically harmful to them. When the need arises for girls to leave the home, do not adorn them with jewelry. There is one point when it comes to food also, which you call fast food or junk food. But then whether it's not all food is junk, it's still food. You can't say it's junk. Say fast food. Not home-prepared food. Just for our understanding, Hazrat would mention also that when it comes to energy, as mentioned before, it comes from the blood. Blood comes from the food we partake of. Food is wholesome, healthy, halal. Then the blood also is made from the food that we consume. And from there we get good energy. So in the same manner, Hazrat Wala explains that when it comes to the material of insan is made from sperm. So if that drop of sperm was made from the Zamzam of Makkah Mukarrama, person has Zamzam, Alhamdulillah, came from Umrah, Hajj, and from there the wife conceived thereafter. So he says that child now is produced from that type of material from the Zamzam of Makkah Mukarrama. So that child, we can call him a Makki. And if he is made now from the Khajur of Madina Manawara, they call him a Madini. And if he was made from junk food, what do you call it? Junkie. Allah protects. But we can see what is due to the children. Then we say they have ADHD. Yes, it is there, we understand that. Right? And it wasn't something, nothing something new. It was there from before. But each one has their own skill. Some aren't so good in comprehending, not so good in writing, but we know the circular system, we all must be the same in one class. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we give some preference over others in regards to sustenance. Some will earn more, some have to be the workers. When it comes to madrasa, also Darul Ulum, if all going to be the same level, then all going to become Shaykh al-Hadith. Who teaches the maktab? Who will teach the hills, who will do the imamat, all become Shaykh al-Hadith. So Allah Ta'ala has kept degrees now in earning livelihood also. So Allah Ta'ala has given some more skill, more intelligence. And each one has his place in the society and our community. But we know when it comes to the secular world and the system of school, class 1 all must be in the same level, class 2 all the same level. Right? And if he's lagging behind, yes, he has to know the basics that he's there. But then to Allah Ta'ala has written his sustenance for him already. How much you can help the child? But how many parents say now, okay, he has ADHD, or he has whatever it is, autism is there also, has to be treated. How many parents say, we took him, and we still can't get his meds right, and child was normal, so to say, jumping up and down and playing, gave him the meds, and then can't find him in the house, means usually he's very active. After taking the meds, now he's become like one, what is going to a shell. Look for him in the corner of the house. They're talking, they're moving. What happened to you? It's because the meds are finishing him right now. So, yes, we have to go to ulama ikram, make the mashwara also. We have to put them on some medication, whatever it is now. And that's what they say, at-tabibul muslimul hadiq, a expert Muslim doctor that has taqwa in him also, has deen in him also. Has deen in him, has taqwa in him. And see what he has to say. And we don't have a Muslim doctor like that, then whoever we have to go to, and make also dua and dawa. Go to the ulama ikram, take their advice, and see how we can join them both. There are duas to be read, there are wazaif, which we're reading in the morning. Especially as fathers, we're reading in the morning, Bismillahi ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi. Allah, I'm putting waladi, my children, in your protection. So not only physical protection. Even the mental protection, Ya Allah, putting them into, if we start reading as fathers and mothers, a very important point recently somebody mentioned to me. He says, usually we read this wazaif, we take it to be spiritual protection or physical. Allah will protect us, we will meet an accident, we're very worried about these things. Accident, hijacking, robbery, break-ins. So we read all this now, Ya Allah, protect all of this, my business, my home, my car, my life, etc. But it is more than that. The amount of things you are taking in the types of foods, and we know most of them, what they don't have in it. Tartrazine, poisonous things they have in there. Now even one of the doctors that is an alim, he was researching. And he said, even the synthetic ether that we are using, we apply to the skin. And he goes into the pores. So one of the causes of cancer is that. One of the cancer, because going into the bloodstream. Now, a woman folk, the amount of perfumes they're not using, it's become like a craze right now. You go to even to, for Umrah and Hajj, Saudi Arabia, there's so many perfume shops, perfume. And what Ali mentioned also, doesn't cost so much to smell nice. Doesn't cost so much to smell nice. It went to thousands just to smell nice. It was a Western cultural thing. Now to put this type of perfume there. We have our Islamic culture, when to smell nice, how to smell nice, when to smell nice. For the women folk within the home. Now they're putting, especially when they're leaving the house, absolutely impermissible. That is why the jadu is starting. Now everybody else is smelling the perfume. And now they are being aroused. And obviously they're not going to be happy she's married to you. So the eyes will fall and the person is attracted. They don't realize now what harm they're causing to themselves. So one is the perfumes you are using. And then the amount of sprays you are using in the toilets also. The amount of sprays you are using in the before we know the original tartib of toilet was out of the house, outside. So nobody bothered about the smell. And that was the right place also. Because the Hadith Sharif indicates to us that the breeding ground of shaitan is the toilet. That is why we have special du'as to recite, we have to read before we enter. Bismillahi, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. We're seeking a refuge from the female jinn and the male jinn. Why? That is where they are. That is their breathing ground. Now he brought it into the house and then into the bedroom also. But Allah's fazal, ours, mashallah, bathrooms, toilets are super clean. So there's no traces of impurity. But then too, it's a napak place. That you have to unclothe yourself over there. So because he brought it there now, so they gave us all these sprays. We've been healing it all the time. And now they gave us such type of sprays now that every 3 minutes or 5 minutes, they're letting out something in the air. I have it now, electric or battery operator, whatever it is. All the time the chemicals in the air. All the time chemicals in the air. So all this now has become commercialized. It's not a dini thing. Dini itar, dini perfume is something different. Dini itar, dini perfume, as mentioned in the ahadith, amber, oud, rose, musk, all these names come there, mukhallat, majmu'a, all these names come there. So these types of perfumes are natural, where it creates a pious environment. It creates an environment conducive for ibadah. It creates an environment that attracts a malaika. But the perfume we are using nowadays, we call it itar, but it's creating not a pious environment, romantic environment. Not attracting the malaika, attracting the opposite gender. So the whole is a movement now. So movement away from the sunnah, but then to market it in the sunnah way. But far from the sunnah, the effects of it is not even sunnah. Now the normal, original, humble way of applying ether, where you take off from the bottle, you apply it to your hand, you rub it nicely on your beard, apply it now to your clothing, wherever it may be, that has left the ummah, now it sprays now. And we know when it comes to spray, it's a Western cultural thing now, how they apply the spray. So that has changed also. So when it comes to applying perfumes and applying ether, and when it comes to our foods, so here they say, all things are causing cancer, and how much you're not using it, and we're buying expensive things also, and more chemicals in there. So there are says also, إِنَّمَا عَيْزُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةً قُلْ إِنَّمَا O Nabi of Allah, tell them, I give you one advice, take one advice. أَن تَقُومُ لِلَّهِ مَقْنَةً Stand up for Allah. And the ayat continues, and it comes towards the end of the ayat, أَن تَتَفَكَّرُوا Take one advice, تَتَفَكَّرُوا Make some fikr, apply your mind. Don't just run behind everybody. All are going now to this coffee shop, we have to go. All are going out to Taksim Square, we have to go. All are going to Dubai, we have to go. All are going to Malaysia, we have to go. All are going to see some lights somewhere. They see lights, but I perform Tahajjud Namaz. You see some noor, inshallah. But now we have to pay someone to go see some lights. Now it's a crazy. You didn't see the lights. Northern lights or southern. Yeah, alhamdulillah, got enough lights in South Africa also. Sometimes he goes off, sometimes he comes on. Sahaba Ikram, they didn't want to see lights. They didn't have lights in Masjid al-Nabawi for 9 years. Only in 9th year Hijri, the Mimedari radiallahu anhu put the first lamp. Where the Ummah is going? Just to see some lights, just to take everybody, see some lights. And see some tower, and see some, all these things now, just to go and see these things. Ajeeb, Ummah to go see it. And then they dropped Masikin Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah when they were in Haramain. And they too, what he was seeing. See how the Imam had spoiled. He said, Hazrat, around the Baytullah, so much of nur on the faces of the Indonesian girls. So much nur on their faces. Hazrat said, Arabian, oh. We didn't see the nur of Allah on the Kaaba Sharif. We see nur on their faces. So they also, these birds of Iman had become spoiled completely. Now, when the ulama are saying the right things, say, where did the Murisab came from? Came from the camel age. Came from the camel age. So, even the minds have become twisted, can't understand Sharia in the original form. That's why Hazrat says now, everyone wants to give Sharia and Deen a facelift. Give it a facelift, make it a bit modern, with the times. Change it a bit. And so many different facelifts and so many different models now. Salafi model, and then you have the Turkish model. Then you have different models of Deen now. When you go to America, you ask ulama ikram, what model do you have there? They say that there we call it the third space. Yes, South Africa we got all space, am I right? For the VW Tiguan by all space. Then they got the third space. So what's the third space? Then we got a lot of reverts coming through the Islamic centers. So the reverts come, sometime male, sometime female. So we have to create a third space. We only know now, Mastorat, women's section and men's section. Now they made a third section, which is for everybody. Because the woman coming there, she's an American girl, there's no Muslims in her family, she embraces Islam, she's academic. Now to explain to her, parda, hijab, you see, so now we have to integrate. We have to, from that integration came interfaith and everything else. I said, now how you do this? He said, no, we have to welcome her as the dean or the principal or the head of the institution. We have to be polite. We have to welcome them. Now she's come. So then we make them, they take the shahada. And the first thing after they take the shahada, what's part of it now? Selfie. We become Muslim. Now shoot on video now. And now you're part of the family. You're part of the family. So how you become part of the family with third space for you in between. In between the day of Qiyamah is called Araf. Na idar, na udar. Not here, not there. It's called Araf. They're not in Jannat, not in Jahannam. So already they're practicing for that. So also not here, not there. Not the men's section, not the ladies' section. But we know what happens after that. You won't stay in the men's section. Man naturally will step away to the ladies' section. What taqaza had? Because I'm taqaza in the ladies' section. But selfie will come. Call other some other men that are there, some other ladies, that we welcome you into our family. And it continues from there. And now they got different organizations that are unearthing all the abuse that is taking place. Because now these women come, they knew, and whether what level of taqwa he has, and then it's a warped Islam after that. It's a warped Islam, they want to give it a facelift. Without a facelift, it's watered down completely. Can't tell them a parda hijab. Now she's my student. She's my student, and the closer you sit, the more fuyuz you'll get. The more fuyuz. Fuyuz means actually more nur. But the reality is, his fuse blew out already. I said, closer you come, the more fuyuz. But no, there's no fuses left already. It can't happen. As I said, it can't happen. What they say, but we don't feel anything. We don't feel anything. We're accustomed to this. As I say, if you don't feel anything, you better go check yourself. If you put butter near a fire, and the butter doesn't melt, what do you say? Some butter, but see, the man also. He says, no, we have to learn this. We sit together, no parda, no hijab. And we're just speaking to them openly. Something must happen in Dahna. We don't go into all the reports, etc. But it's a reality. So anyway, coming back, my dear brothers, all these things, so the food also, what you are partaking of, the perfumes that we are using, the amount of shampoos, the amount of... That's why we ask Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, what type of wasal did he make? For us now, if we don't have the soap or shampoo or gel, can't bath. Like it's become the farz of all farahis. Have to have it. And garam pani, hot water. Allah Pak, make us strong. Nabi Ali Salam, dua, give me badran sabira. Give me a body that can take mujahada and qurbani. So if we train ourselves, train our children, but now it won't happen at home. That is why we say, send them for 4 months in the path of Allah. Make them mend a little bit. Now for a change now, he'll stand there and think, how do I bath now? He'll become an architect and a designer engineer. How do I make a plan now? Your whole life you never made shukr for that bathroom your father gave you. You never made shukr for the hot water you have. Never. Only complain. Oh, who finished hot water? Who's in the bathroom? Only fighting. Now you go in the bath of Allah. Now I promise you the child will cry, what my father gave me. What my father, I just open the tap and I just enjoy myself. Never worry about anything. What is the cost? Who's paying the bills? How much? Nothing. Just israf upon israf. Now you go in the bath of Allah, you got one bucket only, but you got to suffice upon that. You go to the toilet also, you only got one lota, you got to do your job in that. Otherwise in the toilet, he is just lota upon lota, not worried how much water is wasting also. Doesn't work. Places the flush also, and the flush is jammed a little bit, doesn't even care also. The water is just carrying on, running. And then paying the bills. Going the path of Allah, then he'll make shukr for his parents. He'll make shukr for the food. He'll make shukr for the water he has at home. The whole life will come out here, back home. There's no shukr at all. Only complain and once. And you won't find a moment he'll say, I don't need. Going the path of Allah, something will come into the heart, inshallah. So coming back to the food, the perfumes we use, the ether we are using. And Hazrat says the worst of all, we can say the worst of all, that we cannot say is sunnah, but what is closest to the temperament of sunnah? What is the closest to the temperament of sunnah? Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than often they would wear two pieces of cloth, a shawl and a lower garment, a lungi. So they kept much cool in that manner. It was very hot. Saudi Arabia, Hijaz and Muqaddas, very hot. 45 degrees, 50 degrees sometimes. They just have a top covering only. So it was very easy for them to keep cool. Now we're wearing kurta. Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also had a qamis, which you translate as kurta. So he also had different types of kurta for Eid. He had some Yemen, different fabrics, etc. So he would wear this kurta. He had a izar also, a lower garment, the pants also he used to wear. So in our scenario now, we wear mostly kurta and the pants. So we'll perspire also, but obviously you can't take out your kurta. You can't open the buttons altogether. So we wear a t-shirt underneath. So here Hazrat says also, what is the purpose of the t-shirt? If it had to be part of the sunnah, then the part of your body that perspires the most are your underarms. But now what they've given us, sleeveless t-shirts, or sleeveless vests, and big holes in there. Now, what do you do about your armpits? They give you a speed stick for underarms. Underarms. And if you just take off some thyme, my dear brother, the ones that smell really good, just look at the ingredients. You can't even count what they're putting in there. Chemical upon chemical upon chemical. And just after you shave your underarms, the day of Jummah, now you're lathering it one way. The pores are wide open. And all those chemicals are going into the bloodstream. All are going into the bloodstream. And women folk, they can't do without it. They can't do without it. The amount of creams, hand creams and everything else. And they told you also not tested on animals. So what they're testing it on? You. How they bluffed us. So we thought, now not tested on animals, so good stuff. But you the animal, they're using you. Because you already have the medication ready. You are going to get cancer. You're going to have this, you're going to have that. So all these chemicals you are taking in. You are taking in. Now you see, cancer has become so common. And once a person has cancer, they say now, the best treatment, if you go to India, they say the best treatment for cancer is change the diet. Go to natural, organic. Go back to the original. Start taking good stuff inside. So your blood and the rest of it now can become better. So you can start fighting the bad stuff in your body. What created the bad stuff? Where did it come from? This is the command of Allah. But Sharia's command also, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat good stuff. Eat, look at what we're eating, what we're partaking, what we're taking into our bodies, etc. All these things. Whereas from the sunnah you find was absolutely simple. There was nothing so much as we have. Now when we go to our bathrooms, the amount of caddies or shelves we have for so much of chemicals, so much of, it's unbelievable. What and what we've got there now just to have one shower. Like we're living in the bathroom now. And it's all lined up. See Allah, so many things. Just to have a shower, just to be clean. They've given us, advertised it. The adverts are there to catch us. That you'll feel good, you'll feel like this, you'll feel like that, etc. So now, we become accustomed to these things and now we've seen the effects of it. And if you go to the subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, for them I think their bath must be 2-3 minutes and it's finished. Quick. Even when they're in Jamaat also, they have to explain to them now what is a geezer. So, oh, kya bala hai? What is he talking about? We have a certain thing at home, looks like this. The time we didn't have internet to show them also, they couldn't understand that you've got something so, technical now that the water must go in this way, it gets heated up and it comes back in it. Couldn't understand it. How do you explain to them about a microwave that heats the food up? That they couldn't understand. That they couldn't, because they were accustomed to this cold water, bathing the babies in cold water also. What do you say, baby gets sick? Their babies don't get sick. That's why they don't get sick also. They're working like you can't believe. The amount of strength, the energy they have, that rickshaw or that, you call it a van. It's a van. It's a cross between a bicycle and a van. If you haven't seen it, then go performance. It's a cross between a bicycle and a van. It has a van back, but in the front is a bicycle, he's pedaling. And he's carrying goods, hundreds of kilos. And he's a scrawny youngster. He's so thin, he's got his lungi on, just folds it up in front, the whole day he's riding. His whole day he's riding, and for us to get that amount of strength, we have to buy 100,000 bicycle and go for 30 kilometers in the morning. Whereas they're doing it naturally. Doing it naturally, they got no fancy gear whatsoever. They're riding for life, alhamdulillah. Not getting sick also. Not getting sick. Because they got a natural life. They're having natural food also. And the systems are, mashallah, so strong. The inside systems have become so strong that whatever milk they drink, and that oil also at the train station, they're frying that oil and they're frying. They're eating and they don't get sick. We just eat one bit of it and finished. Our system is down already. Our system is down already. It shows how weak we have gone. And they are tough. That's why they can move any country of the world. You can move any country of the world and they don't have a problem. They don't have a problem. But we go there, we have a problem. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding that all diseases are causing the cancer. Eczema. Children now are born with eczema. India, Pakistan, we don't really hear it so much. Amongst the, what do you say, the poor class, eating natural, normal things, roti, dar, and that's it, simple food. Eczema, asthma, sinus, and all these things. They don't have these problems, alhamdulillah. Now because they're traveling out and they're importing now what we are doing, so now they're having these problems. Glasses also, eyesight, problem, not much over there. Now, yes, exactly say they don't have, but not to the extent that we have. Even you ask now the doctors and cardiologists when it comes to the Indians, when it comes to cholesterol, big problem for them, Dr. Saab. Cholesterol, big problem. Pressure, big problem. Everything. And the medication we are taking is not to cure it, to suppress it. It's just to suppress it. And for life, we've got to take it now. And there you don't have so much. Eating natural. And in the old days, our grandparents, great-grandparents, they hardly got sick. And here, how many satis, you know, they'll tell us, come the whole life, I haven't taken medication, I don't know for how many years. If I ever took anything, maybe one panado. Or nothing at all. Diet was simple. Food was simple. As I say, the secret of the old people was, they had simple food. That simple food, and most of the time, nearly every day, every second day, what they were eating? Kari khichdi. Kari khichdi. What's kari khichdi? Like yogurt. Right? And with that, whether it was sehri also, now our systems can't take it. They could manage it. Fresh roti in the morning, fresh roti, keema, and they're having mince, all good stuff. And what now washed everything away, all the toxins was, they had a nice hot cup of tea with it. Nice hot cup of tea, and that too, not the yatim chai we are having, the yatim tea, tea bag one. In the tea bag also, my dear brothers, that's also one of the causes. As those that are in the manufacturing of tea bags, the tea bag itself, that they put the tea leaves in there, has glue in it. You ever thought about it? They put glue in there. But you got to stick it together, the same glue we're putting in the tea. The same glue we're putting in the tea, and it has to be solid glue. As of sometimes when the thing is ripped apart, you say, hey, what happened over here? So they've got to keep it together in the... And how many degrees is the water? 100 degrees for the tea? So 100 degrees and that tea bag, the glue is still stuck on. It's still stuck on. It's getting mixed in the water also. And we're partaking of it. Old people, they had tea leaves. Proper tea leaves, they use no tea bags. So they mix the tea, and most of it was milk. And proper milk also. Because proper milk in the old days, if you remember, when it was clover, etc., it was really good milk. Right? And we used to leave the bottles outside the house with the coupons on there. Alright? And then the milkman will come, deliver the milk, take the empty bottles, and he'll leave the milk. It was real good stuff. Now what's good stuff for us? Milk will stay for two weeks, it will stay, won't go off. Very good. We pay more for that. Why is there so much of chemicals in there? So the longer shelf life it has. And even more than that now, long life milk. Or evaporated milk. Now we think this is progress. They are progressing. So Allah Ta'ala give us understanding that all this we bring in the house, all the different perfumes and sprays and the lotions and the creams and the underarms and all these chemicals upon chemicals upon chemicals we are putting into our bodies. So we are finding all these problems we are having. Yes, illnesses are there, we understand, but we are creating most of the illnesses. We go back to the original sunnah, simple life, simple life. Even our clothes also, just to wash it, to make it smell and make it, the amount of chemicals there also. Right? The washing machine, what we're not using in there now. And the more you smell better, the more you got to pay, and the more chemicals to get that scent, to get that fragrance. So it's just getting more and more and more. And not to speak about the cool drinks, the soft drinks, fizzy drinks, all of that also. So we are causing our ill health. Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq to go back to the sunnah, to eat healthy. It's also a farz upon us. It's also a farz upon us that we eat healthy and we do exercise also. We do exercises also. It's very important. As we were telling the brothers recently also, I don't know if they mentioned here. Gee, we did mention it also. But sometimes we feel now, okay, I'm already 50, 55, I've gone old now. And everything is creaking, everything is paining, etc. Now almost past the expiry date, soon we are going. So can't do much. No such thing. That's why we mentioned to the brothers, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam into Medina Munawwara at the age of 53. 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah. So 40 was Nubuwat. 53 went to Medina Munawwara. And Battle of Badr took place in second year Hijri. What was his age at that time? 55 in the battlefield. Absolutely fit. And then was Uhud, 56. Khandaq, almost 57, 58. Fath Makkah, still moving. Almost 60 now. Hajjatul Wada, 62, 63. And the journey from Madinah Munawwara to Makkah Mukarramah, it was peak summer. Peak summer. Wallahi Ihsan Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuh, Rahimin. When he gave the bayan, they calculated which month it was. It was Zulhijjah, but what was the English calendar? And what season was it? Say it was the summer months. Summer months in the Medani Arafah, and Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam performed Salatu Zuhr and Asr in awal waqt. Then he gave the khutbah. Then he went to the Medan of Arafah. And now he made dua from, so to say, from Zawal time till Maghrib time. Almost 6 hours. Almost 6 hours in the blazing sun. In Ihram, bareheaded, within two, so strong. We stand half an hour, we say, SubhanAllah, half an hour is 1 hour. But there for 6 hours, the spirituality was dominating. Within to how fit the Nabi of Allah was. And most of the time was Rosa, was fasting. One morning, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam goes to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Is there anything to eat? For Nabi of Allah, there's nothing in the house. Goes to the second house, to the third house, to the fourth house. He goes to every one of the Azwaj Mutahharat, almost 9 houses. In every house he goes there, is there anything to eat? There's nothing to eat, nothing to eat. Either, inni idhan la sa'imun. In that case, I'll keep roza today. I'll keep roza today. So, if you look at it logically, it should be very weak. Very weak, very feeble also. But then to so strong. And Sahaba Ikram also, radiallahu anhum. So over 50, they were still strong. That passed the expiry date. So we have to do exercise. We have to train also. Alhamdulillah. But within the confines of Sharia, dressing very important, how we're dressing. With even the men nowadays also wearing tight things. Men have different inclinations nowadays also. So that also we got to now protect ourselves. Don't become a fitna for other men also. Don't become a fitna for the women also. Alright, you know the cyclists sometimes, even a male. Now you driving and he's in front of you and he's hardly clad with the tight pants. Now you got your wife next to you, you got children next to you, you become a means of fitna. Fit sin he's getting. Running also, their short pants, sometimes his tights. Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahman mentioned, you become a fitna for the people. Then now they will look at you and now you're getting the sin of it. Because you're not clad correctly. You are not clad correctly. And Sahaba Ikram, Taliban, they went in the battlefield with the Sunnah Taribas. They moved with that, alhamdulillah. They had no problem with that. So that is our dress code. So if really I'm doing it for my deen, then I dress accordingly also. I'm doing it for my deen. Then the young someone asked, can I go to the gym? Hey, gym, they got music, females there. I'm doing it for jihad. But your jihad is first, don't go there. Because it's not a conducive place for your iman. Do it at home. So can't afford it. Get few friends together and buy one week, alhamdulillah. And put it in the garage somewhere. And you all can train together. You won't have a problem. But no, you want to be in that environment. You want to be in the environment, you want to be part of that gym culture. When you go to that certain gym, it's a culture, it's become a culture now. Right, buy the earpods, the earphones, and they got these big things on their ears. They can't hear anything. The car is waiting for him to pass. He is now, they to hoot at him. He realizes now he's walking middle of the road. Now his whole mind is gone. So the earphones they got, and the type of dressing they're after, and the big, big Jojo, little Jojo tanks they're carrying. So much of water they're carrying now. I don't know how they're going to keep wuzu also. Because now you're going to go toilet all the time. So see the sunnah, how they train Sahaba Ikram. Where they got the energy from? How much water they drank? Now in the bayans also, the students in class, they have to rehydrate all the time. Rehydrate. I don't know which sunnah kitab they found about rehydration. They have to drink so many liters of water a day. Whereas when Ilyas Ab Rahimullah, he gave up drinking water for years. Well, the Hakim told him, it was his tabiat. But you know, the more you drink, the more you're going to go toilet. And then wuzu, lazy. Yes, you have to drink water. There's times when to drink, what time to drink, how much to drink. But now it's become a craze. That even a boy is studying kitab also, is feeling thirsty. In the bayan, the speaker is speaking, not you, but he's feeling thirsty. In Taraweeh time, the reader is reading, but we're feeling thirsty. So it's ajib. But now the body has become accustomed having water and then and Sahaba Ikram during the 4 rakats of Taraweeh, what they used to do, Siddhi Kitab, in Haram of Makkah Mukarramah, during that period, 4 rakats. If the 4 rakats took 10-15 minutes, then the Tarweeha, the break period used to be 10-15 minutes. In that 15 minutes, Sahaba Ikram used to make tawaf. Tabi'in used to make tawaf the time. What Nafil Namaz used to make. What they started reading in the Quran Sharif. For us now, it was the water. So that's become an ibadat of drinking water. In the class also, now to understand our kabir, what they've given us, and what we're giving the next generation. Shah Waliullah Rahimahullah, who's the headquarters of our, and the markaz, and the source of all the chain of hadith for us. All goes to Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Adihlawi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. So his son at one time was studying his kitabs at night. So the son was studying gross in his kitabs. So he told the Khadim, just by the way, bring some water for me. So the Khadim, the attendant, was going to bring water. So father asked, where are you going? He said, no, the son wants water. He said, he's feeling thirsty while studying kitabs. How can it be he felt thirst? Where he's sitting with the hadith of Nabi Ali Salah, your mind is elsewhere. You don't even know who you are right now. You're sitting in the company of Nabi Ali Salah, studying hadith and tafsir and fiqh. Whereas you hear about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when he came from Hajj, and he met Imam Malik rahmatullah, what a mulaqa that was. Abu Hanifa, he was born in 80 Hijri. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, 94 Hijri. Two fuqaha and jurists of the time. Then we find two shaykh al-hadith meetings, subhanallah. What a jalsa that was. Mashaykh come there, always have come. What a jalsa this is. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, was a tabi'i, met almost 10 sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, meeting Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. They met outside the haram of Medina Munawwara, and they started talking. They stood there right till the azan of Fajr, from Isha to Fajr. Didn't feel their legs failing also, didn't feel any thirst also, because Imam Shafi rahimullah would say, the best moments, most thrilling moments of my life is when I meet someone who has a common interest as me. And when we start talking about it, then we can't stop. What is his interest? Masail. One night, 100,000 masail is pulling out from one ayat. This is a racing. Mind is just racing. Can't stop the mind. Halal food, halal energy, and the mind is working. مثل مسائل فتوى تفسير احاديث and it's just moving whole night they stood speaking till Fajr Azan. When Imam Malik turned away, he met his students and he mentioned that إِنَّهُ لَفَقِيهٌ Abu Hanifa is a real faqih. What a jurist he is. Like how Shaykh al-Hadith will say, what a Shaykh al-Hadith. He says, what a Shaykh al-Hadith, what a faqih he is. One night, they were ready to say about Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One rakat, one Quran khatam. I wonder if he felt thirsty in the Quran khatam. Whole Quran he read. Abu Hanifa, the whole night in namaz, 5 hours, 6 hours, long nights. We never heard them, they had a bottle of water next to them. Yes, a person has some problem, doctor gave him advice, etc., and then you have to drink it. But Hazrat mentioned also, in regards to our attention span, he mentioned that the king had his royal assembly was set up. He sat on his throne, ministers were there. So one minister was sitting there, or rather standing, and he was addressing them. And as he's addressing them in all of that, one of the ministers began to put his button right. And the king lost his cool. Say, how dare you? Standing in front of me and I'm addressing you, your mind actually went to your button. Where is your mind? He couldn't tolerate it. And you see, even in the army also, when they're standing there, do they ever fidget? No way, right? They don't feel thirsty also. They had attention. Why Mr. President is here? Oh, Mr. Prime Minister is here. Oh, some foreign dignitary has come. They are standing for hours there. And they're trained to stand. The gun is so heavy also, but they're standing there. Their mind goes nowhere else. We are hired. But now, when it comes to students of deen, sometimes sitting in the bayan also, it become a casual thing. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how they were trained. When they sat in the majlis, there was nothing else. Fully focused. They never thought about their thirst also. They never thought about their hunger also. Everything was gone. Then they took in completely. Then Allah Ta'ala opened the hearts. Because now they were attentive. So they broken our attention in the bayan. They broken their attention in the classes of fiqh and hadith and tafsir. And now, because we can't pay attention there, and ulama say one of the only ways to get khushu in salah is first to train the mind to focus what they say, yaksuvi hoke, put blind blinkers on. How do you get that one-mindedness? They say that you will get in dhikr. That's how you make dhikr. So in dhikr, in now other cultures, what they call it? Meditation or yoga. Like the Buddhists they do. Maharaj yoga is called. Where they meditate. They go now out somewhere, some stream, sit on one rock or something like that. And now they must tap it with their senses and cut off from this worldly existence of theirs. And they find some tranquility and some peace, etc. And you find in that time nobody drinking water by him. They're in a different realm. It's only us now. Even dhikr time too, I've got to have my water next to me also. Man, you don't find the sweetness of Iman in taking Allah Pak's name. Sweetness of Allah's Muhammad. So they also, they've taken it away from us. But this whole water culture, when I say don't drink, right? There's time to when to drink, and what to drink, and how cold to drink, and how warm to drink. Sharia has given us all the guidelines. But we've taken it now from the Western culture. And they come with something new there, hey, this is very good. At one time, some castor oil. Put castor oil in your ears, put it in your navel, you'll come right. Then that when they finish. Then they come with some other product now. And somebody will market the thing. Hey, is it now? The ladies are gone. My God, Delta, you find it there. It's now become a craze. Not only something else has come. But nobody. And now, the sunnah has become commercialized also. The sunnah has become commercialized. Whereas, ulama say, when it comes to sunnah and things of deen, Allah Ta'ala made it easy and freely available. Freely available. But now the Ummah has commercialized everything. Umrah, Hajj, Ibadat, everything is commercialized. Allah's Fazl, entry to the masjid is still free, alhamdulillah. But some masjids now you're paying for, what are you paying for? The shoebox. Some masjid you got to pay a prescription now, subscription. Right, you got a lock on it. You got to pay for that box. Alright, and if you're moving out with the key back to the Imam Sahib now, somebody else now will hire that box. So now they're paying for that also, some masjids, in some places. Alhamdulillah, coming to them, it's still free, Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. But everything has become commercialized. So we have to go back to the original deen, then we'll find we'll have a natural good life. No problem, no technicalities, illnesses, etc. Because Allah Pak wants us to be healthy for ibadah. So I remember one relative of ours also, a bit of a modern thinker, became a doctor in one of the foreign countries at that time, so mixing with that type of culture. So the life came out most of the time now, not in favor of ulama. You know, also ulama hater, but modern thinker. He'll take on the ulama, etc. So one day we were speaking, so knowing his temperament, so he'll start on topics. He started one topic. So he started one day as we were sitting together. He says, why don't the ulama do some training? I said, chalo, he started now. I said, uncle, what time they must train? After Fajr is the best time. I said, but we're sitting in his class at 10. I said, but they have to do some training. Can't be lazy just sitting the whole day. I said, chalo, bhai, shuru kya. I started now. One thing he found to start with. But then he made a very, very important point. Although Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, he explained this also. The training now is to give your life in the path of Allah. So you see, together with the training, the ulama of Diyuban, because the need of the time was such a demand, there was time for nothing else. They had to establish the deen of Allah in India at that time because the people's minds had become British. The British brought their culture there, how you must stir the tea, and how you must serve it. Before was Sunnah Tariqah. Now they took on the English culture. So they thought now they are Englishmen also. They talk English, they have English tea, they want to keep dogs also. They were all English style it was. And amongst them you find that their generals and their lieutenants and the generals, they would write that time to the Queen of England or whoever it was. That the people of India, we found them to be one of the highest levels of morals and character and etiquette. Very high. Their lives were like the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Imam Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlavi rahmatullah alayh, they say before the British came in, he made an effort of 1600s. When the British came in, where he was from Delhi, they say in Delhi itself there were more than 1,000 darulums. The entire city was studying. We can imagine the level of ilm, the level of sunnah, and the level of the knowledge of what they had that time. Like Ali radiallahu anhu, when he went to Iraq, before him Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu went and settled down in Iraq. And when he was coming to Iraq also, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, what a sahabi. People would think now he's part of Ahl al-Bayt. So often in the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he climbed the tree also and they saw his pindli, they saw his shins, he was very, very thin. Sahaba Ikram began to laugh at him. So thin your shins are, your calves are. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam commented that take the shins of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it will weigh out even Mount Uhud also, on the skills, what he has in him. Now when he went to Iraq, at the time was Kufa, Basra, Baghdad, etc. And he began, we can imagine now the people are waiting. We said, elders are coming. What an elder this is, his Sahabi is coming. And when he came, the whole of Iraq just gathered around him. The Ali radiallahu anhu, when he went finally to Iraq, he made a comment to Abdullah bin Mas'ud. He said, oh Abdullah bin Mas'ud, what have you done to Iraq? He made his entire country on big darulum, in our terms. Everybody studied. From there came Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Imam Zufar, and all these fuqaha from Iraq. So in the same way over here, Shah Waliullah rahimahullah, 1,000 darul ulums. So their lives were like Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So when the British came in, now they show them a different culture. So they have in their memoirs where they wrote that these people are very high level of character, akhlaq, ethical. We have to corrupt them. We have to corrupt them and make them think like us. That is when they brought in the English tea, English style, the type of speaking and how they serve their guests, etc. Whereas the Muslim tariqah to host a person, We are taught from Quran Sharif how to host in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When those guests came, he didn't know they were malaika. And وَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. Soon as they came, he didn't ask them hot or cold, tea, whatever he had, he prepared and he brought it. This was the same tariqah. If I asked our seniors and elders to spend time in the path of Allah, from Masih Ahmed Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, Madinat al-Munawwara, they say when any guest used to come, or when he used to go to arrive in also, he used to go to arrive in, he would ask how many foreigners, how many jamaats at that time. Tell us so many from UK, so many from West Indies, so many South Africa. Like tonight, Dawat is my Dawat. Call it to my dastarkhan. And they say his pockets never got empty. Many stories about it. Met his khadim in Karachi also, Mawla Ibrahim Sahib. He said, travel many times, Mawla Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. He went to Indonesia. There was a jor there for 10 days. 10 days jor. So every day one village would come. A big numbers there. One of the biggest population of Muslims in the world is in Indonesia. But there was curfew. So if the village came now, they would come in the morning, they had to stay the night. And all those jamaats and all the elders can only leave the next morning, next village will come. So they're making a mashwara. They're making a mashwara, intizami mashwara, for the food, the drink, the ikram, etc. So finally, this was years ago, maybe in the 70s or the 80s. So sitting together, Masih Ahmad Khan Sahib rahimahullah sitting there. And so he asked him, okay, for these 10 days, so many people, how much would it cost? Exact figure right now, I think, is almost $38,000. Big numbers. It'll cost us. So spontaneously, he said, "Take a merit taraf se." Says, "My bull, I'll pay for it." So when Ibrahim was fading, he said, "I looked at Morana. I packed your bag. There's no tijori there. You didn't come with a safe or anything." And he's saying, "From my side." So he says that we'll need some funds now. I said, "How much you need now?" He said, $11,000. He said, "Take it, no problem." So he opened his zip, he had a pocket inside his kurta. So when Ibrahim said, "I'm looking at him," he just took out a stack of fresh $100 notes. He said, "Only Ibrahim ginlo." Only Ibrahim just counted. He said, "I counted the last note, $11,000. That's the ghaib. He was taking Allah Ta'ala's khazana. When Faruq Makki Sahib mentioned that when guests used to come and eat on his dastarkhan, Masih Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he never would ask what you're eating. You had 2-3 khadims, they said, "Mehman aaye hai, you just give them some money." He says, "Bring cold drink, bring juice, bring tea, bring coffee, bring kahwa, bring roti, bring everything. Bring everything." Why? Only Faruq Sahib mentioned this. He was also one of the very close associates of Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib. The 80s, they were locked up in jail also because of da'wat and tabligh. So he said, when I came to South Africa, and I saw South Africans, how y'all are feeling? So I got very upset. Supper da'wat, he said, "Ya Allah, so much of israf." They made chicken, then they made steak, then they got fish, and then they got different types of rotis and breads, and so many variety of cold drink and juices. He said, "Look at this. This is all wastage. So much of time, so much of resources, and the women folk have to prepare all of this." I got very upset. I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet. So maybe something behind it. See, then when I went back to Madinat al-Munawwara, Masjid al-Nur, that was the markaz that time, they said, then it struck me that Masih Ahmad Khan Sahib rahimahullah, when he used to open his dastarkhan, it was seen as a set of chicken dastarkhan. Then when I opened Hayat al-Sahaba, the kitab, and I began to read of Sahaba ikram, how they hosted, he said, this was the tariqah and the style of Sahaba. They used to feed like this. They used to feed whatever they had in the house, bring it. How much khajur, whole variety of khajur, bring all, whether musar, whether rutab, whether sukari, whether whatever it was, barani, bring all the variety. Not this one, dabbo only. They bring everything. One, what is fosha? Takitir. Huh? Khosha. Bunch. Bring one bunch of it, from all the khajur and lay it out. And the same thing if I'm Madina Manawar today, bhai. How did they throw it out, bhai? Like kahwa, kajur, this, that, bhai, everything. But this was the sifat of Sahaba. Then only Faruq Sahib mentioned, fir mujhe itminan ho gaya. Then I had itminan that the South Africans, mashallah, they got the sifat of Sahaba Ikram. And the human folk, they host like Sahaba Ikram. They won't put one thing on the table, put everything. Put everything, chutney, achar also. different variety of it, rolls and braids, etc., etc., and they will lay it out. Then our Hazrat mentioned very beautifully, Hazrat said that we hope inshallah in Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will give the contract of feeding the people of Jannah to South Africans. We'll give you the contract to feed. Allah will feed you also and you'll feed them also. Allah Ta'ala accept our masturat, and how Hazrat says to, let them do as they want it. Let them feed as they want to feed. Don't stifle them. How they got the style, they're going to do it, they're going to put everything. Let them do it because they're doing it out of love for deen. Jaman is coming, he said, no, make it like this, make it simple, don't put that. Let them do it. Because so much of love to feed mehman, this is the quality of Sahaba ikram. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمُنُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيُومِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. The person who believes in Allah, in the final day, let him honor the guest. By them honoring the guest to this level shows the iman yaqeen billah wal yawmil akhir. How much yaqeen they have in Allah and the final day of Qiyamah. That's why they're feeding like this. Then Hazrat says also, now we give them pressure in the kitchen, we go there. Hey, quick, 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 they're already sitting down. Now she says, don't rush me. Now she take out the chicken, she put the leg like this, put the white meat like that, and now you say, hey, we don't even see how you put that in. But she wants to put it. And after she puts it also, we already got the platter in our hand. She said, hold on, I'm going to cut the dhania still on top. Then she cut the dhania, then I said, but you put all the spoon. Now she's bringing the spoon also, she wants to hold that, the platter, because she was putting it at an angle. She was putting it, we don't even bother. She says, look at to what extent now, they're so particular feeding the guest. That is the imani quality. That they want to cook the food also, or whether they order the food, but they want to present it in a way out of love to feed the guests. Allah Ta'ala bless them. Alhamdulillah. We make shukr for them. Allah says, let them do it. They do it with muhabbat and love. Don't shout at them. Let them make it nicely. Let them present the food nicely. Alhamdulillah. So this is the quality of the Sahaba Ikram and the people of Jannah. So here, we were just speaking about when it comes to the children's food. The food they're partaking of, you know, the chips and the crisp they're having, and the type of juices they're having, etc. So, coming back to what you were mentioning there, that the wazaif that we read in the morning and the evening, why it's so important? We really think, you know, it's only for my protection. I won't get mugged, I won't get hijacked, won't break into the business. That's how we're reading this, Ayatul Kursi, protection. Three quotes, protection. They say, extend the niyat now. Extend the niyat, Ya Allah, I'm reading this for protection of my health also. But there's so much of poison we're taking in. So make the niyat, Ya Allah, to the barakat of this wazaif, ayatul kursi, the three quls, Ya Allah, keep me healthy physically also so I can continue reading this. Because I'm just protected now, physically, security is there, but I don't have the health. I'm not going to have the energy now to send to read these wazifas. So I need that also, security and protection. The protection of my iman also, and my physical health protection. That also, that is now my medical aid. That's why people say, the people, can I take out medical aid? They ask our mashayikh also, can I take out insurance? First, by ready for Jatul Jamaat. That's your first insurance. Did you pay your zakat? Did you calculate your zakat? Here we now has mentioned very beautifully also. Sometimes we lazy to calculate zakat. Lazy to calculate the, I think more or less my zakat will be so much, I just make it 5%. Just make it, just double the thing now, just to cover anything shortfall. This is good also. But calculating the zakat and breaking your head, that is a special and a mustaqil and individual ibadat of its own. So Ajib, a beautiful point that made me smile also. Why? Because we like to count money. We like to see the bank balance. In a day, how many times you open the wrapper? Just to check. Sometimes I forgot what I saw there, how much I got there. When you see it again, hey, I didn't realize. I thought I saw 50, but it was 150. Subhanallah, I didn't see that one. So, we like to see it. So just as we enjoy seeing the figures and counting the money, so for zakat purposes also, Allah is saying, now you count it, you get reward for it. Whole year you see the bank balance, you're not getting sawab for it. Now look at your bank balance for the sake of zakat, and the more the figure is there, the longer you look at it, the more reward you're getting. The more reward you're getting. With the zakat, the entire exercise becomes ibadat. Entire exercise, in namaz, I'm thinking also of the figures, where I stash the money, which account, where, who owes me, etc. In namaz, you're thinking now, for your zakat purposes, that is khushu in namaz. Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he will say, Inni ujahizul jaysh fi salati. That I prepare my armies in my namaz. So Abu Shaykh al-Hadith would say, Kya ye khilaf-e khushu hai, ya khushu hi hai? Umar bin Khattab is saying, I prepare my armies in my namaz. You see, this outwardly looks like against khushu, this. So we're thinking about Allah. We say, prepare, and this is the Amirul Mu'mineen. So Shaykh al-Hadith will say, that only a Sufi can give the reply to this. And the one that gave a reply to this objection was none other than Haji Imdadullah Mahaji Makki Rahmatullah Ali. He said, this is Ain Khushu. This, what he taught for in Namaz, is Khushu in essence. Because the fikr of Deen was so dominating within his heart. Was so dominating his heart, Ya Allah, the purpose of jihad was not to go and kill. The purpose of jihad preparing the army was to go and give the da'wah for 3 days. They don't accept the da'wah, they pay the jizya, live with us, we'll show you deen. Come to the masjid, we'll teach you salah. And then finally, if you don't want to, now you become the gangrene in the ummah, your kufr is going to spread, as a last resort, we're going to meet on the battlefield. Now we're going to amputate you. So he's preparing the armies in his salah, so they will go out and bring the ummah back to the masjid. Back to Allah. So his entire salah was preparation of the armies to bring the entire ummah back to Allah. That is khushu itself. That is khushu and concentration in salah itself. In the same way now, it's time for my zakat and all these figures in my head, how do I please my Allah in the correct manner? One is physically I am in salah and monetarily, financially also to fulfill and discharge my obligation upon me from the side of Allah. And here Hazrat explains also, Allah Ta'ala wants you to give the zakat. The zakat is for who? Primarily for who? For Allah. Allah says, the zakat is for me. But I don't need your money. So those in the dunya, that I have made them recipients, when you're giving it to them in reality, you're giving it to me. You're giving me back my money. But these are the avenues. These are the sadaqat, al-faqara, al-masakin, 8 recipients of zakat. Now they are 7. وَمُوَلَّفَةِ الْقُلُوبِ They have been suspended for now. The whole different discussion. So Allah Ta'ala, the zakat that you are giving, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ They're spending from their wealth. As Hakim Sahib Rahimullah will say, that this spending actually is upon Allah, but Allah is ghaniyun. Allah is samad, Allah is independent. So once you put it in the hand of the faqir, Haji Imdadullah Mahaji Makki Rahimullah used to say, that once I put my wealth in the hand of the poor man, he's actually done me a favor. He's transferred my money to the bank of Akhirat without any fees or charges, free of charge. His bank already is gone. His bank has done me a favor in reality. So, just to work out the figures, sometimes might take days, sometimes might take a week also, I have to get everything together. So the entire week now your mind is working. And you get a reward for it. You get a sawab for it. And now you discharge the different reward all together for discharging it also. So Allah will give us understanding how beautiful our deen is. Once we understand the subtleties of deen and the finer points of deen, then we realize, Ya Allah, deen is something I must love. And everything is muhabbat and love of Allah. So I love you for your zakat. So I love you for calculating your zakat also. For using the water for salah. And all this Allah shows is muhabbat. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. To understand how beautiful our deen is, that deen is muhabbati muhabbati. It's only muhabbat and love. Now we haven't understood it, but the Christians, what they say, Christianity is love. Who must love? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Who is the neighbor? Neighbor's wife. So everybody is muhabbat and love. That's what it is about. You go to the Western countries, it is like that. Then when in Jamaat also to Australia, you got a bit of a shock also. Because everything is khayda, sir. They got the building line, they got no fences there, no burglar guards there. No, everything is very, very safe. And all the houses are same. For a lawn in the front, for a driveway, for a garage, entrance. If you park your car, the entire neighborhood can see you offloading your groceries. And there, everybody is friendly. Everybody is friendly there. So when you're floating in the cars, we had Mastura program. So as we came there, the owner of the house, he just came with his car, he was floating, whatever he had bought, etc. So he opened the boat, and all the neighbors are outside, they sit outside. They said to the kids, the ladies are there, neighbors are there. And as soon as he came off his car, all of the neighbors are greeting him. And all females also. So as if you give them back, and as he's taking out the parcels, so they all coming to help him. They said, Inna lillahi. They come in the house, how's your day, how's work, how's everyone? The wife is not at home also, but it's part of the culture, this is politeness. This is politeness. That they come and help you, and they pack your groceries for you also. So, that's how their lifestyle is in those countries over there. So, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, this is our lifestyle. So, our lifestyle, love thy neighbor. Have fikr for your neighbor's iman. So, Sharia is Muhammad and love, فَلِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ فَاللَّهِ And this Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. We're just spending one point. Let's repeat this point over here. All children and especially those who are studying should be given such nutrition which is good for the brain. Junk food is spiritually and physically harmful to them. And also one point comes to mind. You see our elders go back to India, Pakistan. They're still very much natural compared to our lifestyle. Alright? And you will find in the old days also, our mothers used to do it. Our grannies used to do it. What was very common before was badam milk. Doing hives have badam milk. Badam milk. I don't want badam milk now. Now I don't want badam. The boy said, no, Khalima, drink it. But he'll have everything else. Becoming a hafiz of Quran. The badam milk is so important for the nourishment of his brain. That is why the Hakim will say, we see in the nuts family. Alright, you have the badam, you have the cashew, then you have walnut. Right, you see the design of it, whatever design of that nut has some similarity with some body part of yours. But you see the walnut on the right, it looks like the brain. But it's good for the brains. Badam also is a general, good for the health and for the brain also. That's why for the men, they say don't have too much of cashew nuts. See the shape of it also. So, especially in i'tikaf, then you have a problem. Sadi is going in Jamaat, they say, no kaju by Jamaat, especially. Because then taqaza after that. Our start from the word taqaza also is the most abused word in the world. Taqaza. Taqaza we use for everything. For toilet, bathroom, ghusl, coming late, at taqaza. Most abused word in the world is taqaza. So, the Nab family you'll find that the shape of it now is good for certain things, as the Hakims will tell you also. So, youngsters are not eating badams anymore. We have bubble gum. So, Hazrat gives a badam, he says, one badam, one salam, no bubble gum. One badam, one salam, no bubble gum. Have badam, won't have bubble gum. What you find in the car, the father, so much of stimerol and dentine and this gum, that gum. Children are having it all day, they're chewing. They said they're going to drink so much of water. Saliva now is getting finished, so you got to drink water. So all against our natural system. We are going against it and has become the DNA of our lives now. We're doing it like that. So badam, they're hardly eating. And then when it comes to the morning cereals, they're just eating it for the taste only. And the amount of atrazine, the amount of colorants, the cocoa pops they're having, all other things now, even adults too. Atam Saturdays in Jamaat, but we have a breakfast, cocoa pops. Thank you. 45 years old. Yeah, we could be possible for sharing. Illa, right? Kya tum mard ho ya kya? Kaba ikram wa rijal wa min. Yes, have oats. For us, have talbina. Talbina, they say, is a cure for depression. That's a porridge Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have. Alhamdulillah, that was commercialized. It made it easy for us. We can buy it in the shops. It's prepared already. It's got to put it in milk with the way too. And in the talbina also, you can put some oats there if you want. Put some pieces of kajur in there also. Some honey in there also. And it's very healthy. There's all the nutrition in there. Talbina. But these must have been spoiled. Can't have the talbina. All those are sunnat foods now. Slowly will come back in the ummat insha. But we have to bring it slowly, slowly. So talbina, but now we want the western things now. And it's empty. There's nothing in there really. No nourishment, no nutrition whatsoever. But they got the whole thing on the box. It's very, very cheap to make one box. I had to put one sticker over there. We know that. You can put a sticker anywhere nowadays. But the real stuff now, talbina is there, and the different preparations that comes in the sunnah, so all those things are there, which we can have. So the badam milk is there, to eat badams also, to have talbina, And then we find before, which was very common, now we don't find anymore. Let us say this is so important. Especially for our children that are becoming hafiz, becoming alim, even in school also, they're using their brain all the time. They're using their brain all the time, but we're not servicing the brain. The brain needs service also. The body needs service also. We find our qadr till today, nearly every night before they go to bed, what they're having, mama? Malish. Somebody rubbing their head. Somebody rubbing their body. Nearly every night, they said 80 years old, mashallah, the foot is still moving. We 50 now, we've got body pains. They're still traveling, and how they're traveling also. Just 2 days this country, 2 days that country, 2 days that country. Doing this and all of that also. Now, when it's my brother, our ishtima. How old is he? Late 70s, maybe 80s, I think. 2-3 hour bayan. And the khidmat jamaat is ready to give him lunch. So he finishes zuhr, reading his sunnats. Waiting half an hour for him to finish his sunnats. He reads 1-2 paras in sunnats only. 1-2 paras in his sunnats after zuhr. Then I'll have my lunch. At this age. And then to this one room, bayan, back to namaz, sunnahs, few paras, eating. 3 days we're here, then we go on another country, another country, another country, and tartib is carrying on. We say, you know what, the body clock is finished by. So I have to now synchronize my body clock, jet lag, get some sleep, etc. And they're doing it all the time. And so foot still. Mentally, so foot, physically also. Alright. They're having malish, rubbing the head, putting oil. Putting oil, sunnah has left the ummah, especially us. So we took out the oil, what we put in now? Gel. Putting gel. So all these things now we have substituted with the Western culture. They're helping. So the hafiz boy also, he got his dish haircut, he got his mop under his head. And on the side now he's buffing the ustaz, everything is short. But he got the entire mop is under his topi. So they also, there's a hadith sharif says when he comes, Bukhari sharif riwayat, that a person should not walk wearing only one shoe. Comes in the riwayat, a person should not walk wearing one shoe. Sometimes children, they only found one shoe and are walking, take it out, walk barefoot is better. Why? It creates an imbalance in your body, in your brain. One shoe, he's walking now, only one shoe on. So that creates an imbalance, comes in the hadith sharif. So, one is wearing an imbalanced shoe. Now your head is imbalanced. You got half. Half shaven and half mop you got on top. Now how that Quran Sharif is going to go inside? How is it going to go inside? All these imbalances. Just now in our lives. So one is having the badam, applying oil to the hair. Now the old ladies, when it comes Thursday night, all the children should be lined up. As the older people. Right? Apply the oil. Sometimes surma also, clean the ears out also. Mother will sit by the stove with the spoon, put the oil there. Right, whether it was olive oil or it was badam oil, and clean the ears out. The young girls oil the hair, tie their plaits, etc. And maybe once a month then, they give you one complete oil change also. Right, what do you say? Castor oil, I think. Castor oil. Right, then you know now he's troubled by it. Right, we'll clean out the system, the valves, everything properly, full service now. And how nice you feel in the morning now, everything is cleared out, feeling nice and fresh. Today is Jummah day. Today is nice, no more like that now. Mother is busy also. Mother is busy. See, all health tips, health, but everybody is sick. But so much of a health tips putting on the fridge also. You have to do this and that. But there's more sicknesses. You have to go back to the original, simple lifestyle. The badam oil, talbina, badam milk. Before Ramadan, it was common. Iftari time is badam milk, all the time badam milk. So it was very healthy. Eat day also, we got the badam milk, there were all healthy things in there. But unfortunately, Hazrat says, that on a Muslim dastarkhan, when you sit there, went for walima, went for this thing, you got biryani, top chow. Everything is written, but hey, where's the cook? Where's the cook? Just now like king, man. There's no cook, how the biryani is going to go down? Like cook has become God. This is even worse also. You get a Mukti Sahib sitting there. You say, Mukti Sahib, cook, what's the maslah? Any problem with it? Hazrat was to say. So what the Maulana say? Bhai, bring it, I'll show you. Bring it, I'll show you. Like he's asking God also. If I drink it, what problem you have? It's halal, bhai. is halal. Why you not Allah? To make it halal and haram. Because you drinking, it doesn't make it halal, boy. Everything else is garbar. But now because you drinking it, so you'll be careful, boy. That's why we heard one time one alim says, Mubarak, Mubarak and blessed is that deeni worker, that father, that alim of deen, blessed, Mubarak to him, that leaves this world carrying his own individual private sins only. Don't carry the ummahs. Take yours quietly and go away. Take your own personal sins enough to sort you out. Iqra kitab. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma 'alayka hasiba. Read your own kitab is enough for your accountability today. Don't take your whole family with you. You got some habits, it's your thing. Alim of deen also, just take your own gunas and go quietly. Don't take the whole ummah with you. How are you going to carry the gunas? How are you going to answer for them? Something to worry about as a father, as a sheikh, as an alim, as a leader, whatever it may be. Now, you told me the da'wah also, better you be careful. Don't take the whole ummah's guna with you. So we're not saying anything is haram. But it's more grey area than anything else. Very shady. And we know how healthy it is also. People are using it now cook for cleaning out the radiators also, to clean out the engine also. Instead of sending it now for a car wash over 1,000 rand, buy 2 liter coke. They'll do the full job, alhamdulillah. So they're using it for all of that now. Because like a detergent. Okay? Detergent. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Any questions?